flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We were leaving the air yesterday, BT. It became official. The Jets hiring their guy in Aaron Glenn. And the more I thought about it last night at the Johnny's game, we'll get into that later on, what a great night that was. And the more I watch, honestly, Rick Pitino do his thing, and you see the program changer and what he's done there, I do think it played into my thought process with the Jets, just reconfirming my feelings. It's not about Aaron Glenn, and Glenn could be the guy, and I hope he's the guy, and you're hearing Jet fans all over the place get excited about this, but they're doing the same thing over and over again, and the one thing at my core that I believe needed to be different this time was to hire somebody with experience. And if they don't do it with the head coach, they better do it with the GM. Doesn't seem like that's going to happen either. So until I see it, I can't believe that this is going to be the right hire.
Okay, I am less concerned about, you know, Aaron Glenn being a rookie. I would prefer that the GM has a little experience as well. I don't disagree on that. But to me, the main thing is the Jets, other than those two things, and they're very big things, obviously, I'm not trying to minimize them, the Jets cannot make the same mistakes that they, and I'm talking really about Woody Johnson. This is a direct edict right to Woody. So if you know Woody, if you have access to Woody, clip this and get this to Woody, because I'm trying to help Woody. What Woody's got to do is he's got to sit down at his big, you know, $15,000 mahogany desk, okay, and get out a little yellow legal pad, go old school, and make a little list, things I did right, things I did wrong. Spoiler, the list on the left will be very short, because that's the list of things that he did very well, and the list on the right is going to be quite long, and he's going to have to understand that he's got to provide Aaron Glenn with a backdrop to succeed. Keep your grubby hands off the team, and I say that with a smile. Keep your kids away. You know, make sure that you don't undercut him. Make sure that there's unity with the quarterback. Make sure that there's you and whoever that is. We'll get to if it's Rodgers later. Make sure that there's cohesion on draft night and in the war room. See, Aaron Glenn to me, now I don't know if he's going to be a star or if he's going to fizzle out. I'm not going to waste anybody's time telling you really. Although you do, I like to hire. You know
yes,
that.
Yes.
But to make a prediction on, oh, he's going to do that, I'm not going to waste anybody's time. What I really, I swear to God, I feel this in my heart. I feel this. It's just up to Woody and the rest of the organization to stay out of his way until it's time to help him. I really think, Sal, that Aaron Glenn is very quickly going to show us, very quickly, start with the press conference, that he is everything that we wanted and hoped Robert Sala to be, and Robert Sala was not. He's going to be an ass kicker. He's going to be old school. He's going to hold you accountable. He's going to be fiery. He's going to be the complete antithesis of Sala, and that is a good start. I think that he can be a star. They've just got to insulate him.
But that's everything that everybody was saying about Sala when we hired him, and that's kind of the problem here. When Sala was hired by the Jets, that was the same exact sentiment. This guy's going to be an ass kicker. Look at him on the sidelines. He looks like a badass. All gas, no brake. He's not taking anybody's nonsense. This is exactly what we need. It's the same thing about Rex. When Rex came over, he was doing the same exact thing. By the way, it's not even that Glenn is the problem, because we've seen Todd Bowles Exhibit A,
yeah,
that he, like, Bowles is a good coach now in Tampa. So it doesn't mean that he wasn't a potential good coach here. It means that the recipe or the formula here with Woody, with the Jets organization in this town, you want to throw him without a quarterback or without an experienced GM, like, that recipe tastes like you know what. And they could change a little bit. Well, all right, this salt was store-bought. Now we're going to try a different brand. But it's still salt mixed with or whatever the hell. I don't cook, so I don't know. But
you don't cook at all?
Still the same. No.
Come on, you're Italian.
My
not
wife
at
doesn't
all?
Either. Yeah, that's why my mom's coming next week. Can't wait.
Mama.
But whatever the recipe is, whatever the ingredients are that the Jets, they're putting the same thing in and expecting it to taste good.
Not if it's a different person. Not if it's a different conviction. Not if it's a different personality. Not if it's a different methodology. I know what you mean. Like, it seems like
rookie GM, yeah. Rookie head coach.
It seems like
no quarterback.
It seems like they're repeating mistakes, right? Let me ask you this, though. So the Jets had 5 wins. They had fourth quarter lead 6 times this year, which was largely undone by stupid, mindless penalties, selfish penalties, and to be fair, not enough solid play from Aaron Rodgers when it mattered. A couple times Rodgers had the ball, chance to win the game. He did not get it done.
The offense was inconsistent early on, especially getting away from the run, all that.
But if I say to you, Sal, because Rodgers' numbers were very good compared to Jet quarterbacks and pretty decent compared to the rest of the NFL this year, with basically 4,000 yards and almost 30 touchdowns and not a ton of picks here. If I said to you, Sal, what was the one characteristic of the New York Jets that of this year and really the year before, but specifically this year, that led to their undoing?
Yeah,
what was
the lack of accountability, a total mess.
The accountability stems into what? Discipline.
Yeah.
Lack of discipline. So we're on the same page. Yep. We'll just get there quicker. Yep. A lack of discipline. Jumping off sides, false starts, not knowing the snap count, late hit, being selfish, going for, you know, splash plays instead of being married to what you're supposed to do, your specific gap and all the other things that football people talk about that are very important, and the good teams do them and the lazy, sloppy ones don't. And I truly believe that Aaron Glenn is going to start with that, and we will see an immediate overnight correction.
Okay, so then back to your initial point. Maybe Glenn can be that guy. Bowles could have been that guy, but he wasn't able to be here under that same formula. And they're doing it again. Like, you could try to ignore it and say, well, I believe in Glenn. And I like what Glenn stands for as well. I love that he worked his way up, didn't want to skip any steps.
Yeah.
Like, I love all that. All right, the fact that he's a former Jet ties in, that's cool.
I mean, it's nice, but it doesn't change.
Okay,
but
more importantly, I like what he says, and I do think he has the characteristics to be a leader of men and ideally change a lot of the things that we talk about, lack of discipline, lack of accountability, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But so were some of the other guys that were here. And why couldn't they succeed? Because it was the same thing. Like, Woody keeps falling for the same thing every 4 years, every 3 years with the interview cycle.
But it's not Woody here. It's Tannenbaum and Spielman really running points. It's not just the Woody thing.
Yeah, but maybe it is with a director. I don't know, but how do they end up in the same spot? The top guys, top guys don't want to come here.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me, like, even Dimitroff, you couldn't hire a general manager who's actually done the job before?
I liked when his name first came up. But now, hold on, let's take a step back, right? So we know the names that were out there that have the experience and maybe on the offensive side, but certainly experience, right? Has anybody hired John Gruden?
No.
Is anybody going to hire John Gruden this cycle?
Probably not.
Okay. Has anybody hired Brian Flores?
No.
Is anybody going to hire him if he doesn't get that Saints job? Probably not, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I thought the Jets was the one spot he might get.
I thought the Bears might hire Mike McCarthy. They didn't. They went with the young coordinator. Anybody hiring Mike McCarthy for sure?
Don't know.
Maybe
but
not.
Also doesn't mean that it's right.
I understand that, but it's not like it's the, like the Jets aren't alone in their thinking. And listen, I do agree with you and many as that concept of, boy, you did this for so long. Is it a time to maybe make a change to the philosophy? Yes, unless you're so impressed with the person that was in the room who happens to be a defensive guy.
And I'd be maybe more okay with that if you paired him with, I mean, Steve Wilkes, and we talk about him being, like, I like him because he has experience, but Boomer and Gio will go on the list. Dude, he has been, I didn't realize it was that bad. One year, like.
As a head coach, 1 year.
Well, no, I'm talking about even the experience with defensive coordinator or D-backs coach, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, he has been.
He's bounced around.
All over the place. 1 year and done the majority of time. Now, I'm not even going to pick on that because, in theory, at least he has experience as being a head coach, defensive coordinator. Obviously, Glenn feels comfortable with him. What about the offensive coordinator? What about the general manager? Like that? And by the way, how about hiring to start an experienced general manager to oversee everything. Okay, here's what we need, Mr. Johnson or Woody, whatever you want to call him. This is what I think needs to happen. This is what where I've been before. Not some first-time guy that's like, oh, yes, Mr. Johnson, yeah, I want the job. Like somebody who's going to come in there and tell him, here's what you need to fix this. This is not Jacksonville or this is not Cleveland. This is New York, so it's a different animal. So we need to find guys who are going to succeed here with a different recipe. So have somebody with some success and experience and then let him determine who's the next best head coach. They didn't do that. They went with Aaron Glenn. So this is basically Aaron Glenn's franchise now, and they're going to have an inexperienced general manager, whoever it may be.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem like it's going to be their first choice in Newmark.
No.
So who knows what happened there.
Well, doesn't that impress you? Because think about this. I think the easy, lazy thing would have been, because obviously Newmark and Aaron know each other well. So if the Jets wanted to just wrap this up and get the press conference early next week and not continue to dive into this list of candidates for the GM, the easy thing would be to have hired him, because Aaron likes him, and I guess, you know, the Jets liked him enough to have a second interview, but now they branch out. So what they're saying without saying it is, we like him, but we think there's a possibility we can do better. We don't necessarily think we could have done better at the head coaching spot, but we're not settling for the GM. So, and I know you're not bashing him, but before we start, you know, rendering the final verdict, maybe it is going to be Dimitroff down. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see that, but he's not one of the names that we saw in the second interview thing.
I know.
And by the way, it's not even just about Dimitroff. It's about somebody, for goodness sake, who's actually done the job before. It's the same exact thing. You could say, you know what? I don't want to not hire Glenn because I believe he's the guy, or you or whoever. Like, they believe, people who actually interview him, we believe in him so strongly that screw the past and the first-time head coaches and the defensive coordinators that we hire.
Mm-hmm.
I can't let that impact this decision. However, does all the other things have to be the same as well? Like, you're going to hire an inexperienced offensive coordinator and an inexperienced general manager? Like, come on! And you still have no quarterback. Like, we don't know what Rodgers is going to decide to do if they want Rodgers back. And even if he does come back, he's still not the franchise quarterback. It's the same exact formula, recipe, whatever you want to say.
But it's not, though, Sal. But it's not. And here's where it's starkly different to me. So you mentioned the quarterback. We'll get to the calls. Yeah. Obviously, you guys want to jump in. BT and Sal, 888-808-1019. All right. So every other coach prior inherited either a horrendous quarterback situation or a very unknown quarterback situation with a young, unproven player. All right. Now, see, to me, not that this will lead to a Super Bowl next year. Spoiler, it won't. But at least that there's a stable start to the Aaron Glenn era. 9-8, 10-7, just missed the playoffs, just get in. Now at least you've got a year of built-up equity. Now the culture in the locker room begins to shift because now there's some tangible W's that you could point to. And now you are of a different mindset as you try to address the quarterback situation down the road rather than, oh, my God.
Yeah, but that was
we
like
won
bowls,
four
though,
games.
BT.
And to an extent.
I mean, I'm not saying Rodgers.
You're talking about with Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, he had Fitzpatrick that first year. They had that exact success that you're saying, barely missed the postseason.
10 wins.
And then downhill. It could
yes,
be the same
yes,
exact
but
thing.
But they didn't have the same players. They just didn't. Decker was getting older. Marshall was getting older. Some of the other players getting older for sure. Listen, they got tough decisions. Now, the one thing that I will give you, and I've always given you this, and I've said this really, I think probably as much or before anybody, the Jet, and this worries me about a first-time GM. Forget about Glenn. I'm with you more on the GM than the coach. I'm all in on Glenn. I'm a little worried about the GM, only because there's some very unique financial decisions. You've got to make a decision on Sauce. You've got to make a decision on Garrett Wilson. Who knows? Maybe the new GM comes in and says, hey, listen, Williams is accused very good in the middle. He ain't quite what we thought he was. Maybe we'll trade him. Like, there's a lot at play here. But I do love the hire of Aaron Glenn.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. John is in Pittsburgh. What's up, John?
Hey, BT, Sal, thanks for having me, guys.
All right.
Listen, Aaron Glenn, probably arguably one of the best corners the Jets have had since Revis. But let me be honest with you right now. Besides the whole first-time head coach defensive coordinator thing, you guys just brought up, you know, accountability, penalties, and changing that. The Jets led the NFL in penalties last year. Guess who was second in defensive penalties last year?
Yeah, but
Detroit.
They still were ravaged by injury, so I wouldn't hold that against him necessarily.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. These are pros at the end of the day, guys.
It does matter a little bit.
The culture, accountability, that is not changing the culture and accountability, guys. I'm sorry to say.
Who would you have hired?
It's going to be a lot of the same thing.
Who would you have hired?
Guys, you got anyone offensive.
But that's not the answer, John, hold on a sec. John. Now, I respect that you don't like the hire. I got you. That's cool. You don't think it's a home run? Doesn't even sound like you think it's a double. But you can't say... You can't say anyone. You can't say anyone. Who do you want to hire? Anyone offensive.
Well,
That's not the answer.
The coordinator from the Buck.
Liam Cohen.
All right.
And you might not have been able to get him. He turned down the Jaguars job.
He did.
Which some people say, and by the way, they fired Trent Baalke afterwards.
Can you imagine if Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas get reunited down there? Can you imagine?
With a quarterback, I'd love to see what they could do.
I would not hire Robert Saleh, especially this quickly
Would Joe Douglas do that? Hire Robert Saleh? Yeah, I mean, he's going to go down
again. Working with him. I do.
Yeah, and look, maybe if that ever happened, Jaguars hire Douglas and Saleh, and they have some success.
Yep.
Then there is no hope definitively for the Jets.
But that's not true. There's always hope for somebody.
Not when they keep doing the same thing. See, and to get on the call, and I know why you're saying, like, have an answer. And he gave you one eventually with Liam Cohen. But the thought would be hire somebody who's the best combination of young offensive mind / potential leader of men head coach. Is that Joe Brady? I don't know. Is that Josh McCown?
I don't know.
Well, but we also don't know about Aaron Glenn. We seem to think that we like him because we heard some podcast that he's done or some of the other quotes, but really we don't know either. We're not in the room interviewing, but at least on paper, you'd have an offensive mind where you could say, okay, this guy is going to take a quarterback and get the most out of him, or use this offensive system and get the most out of whatever players he has.
Mm-hmm.
With Glenn, we don't know that, and we don't even know who the offensive coordinator is.
We don't, but here's what I do know, and you couldn't say this about any of the other candidates. I know that he played for Bill Parcells. I know that he was in the same building with Sean Payton.
Bowles was a Parcells disciple too. It didn't work.
Yeah, but it didn't work for different reasons. Like, the talent base just wasn't as good.
Okay.
For Todd Bowles, and it was undone by just years. I mean, I get it. I mean, the Todd Bowles, at least it started well. I mean, it did win 10 times.
It's almost the same situation. And you could say the Jets have more talent.
They do.
Than he had then. Fine.
They do.
But it's almost the same situation as the head coach. Whether it's this year or next year or 2 years, Glenn is going to have to work with a new quarterback. They don't have their franchise quarterback.
True.
So that's a major problem.
But don't you think it's easier to find one when you're not under pressure to get fired? Like, if they go 3-14 this year, let's say Rodgers says I'm done, or they don't, and I think Glenn does definitely want Rodgers, but let's just say he doesn't want to play here, or Glenn changes his mind, and they go with a rookie, whatever, they draft somebody round two, they move up like the Ravens did for 32 at Lamar back in the day, and they win 3 or 4 games. Immediately, unless the player looks amazing, and if you look amazing, you're not winning 3 or 4 games with their roster, immediately year two, pressure.
Yeah.
Pressure. Whereas if with Rodgers, if the pressure's a little suppressed or at least fended off for a year, now you could get the wheel spinning positively.
Which is why I think it's imperative that they hire a GM at the very least with some experience. Pablo is in Tampa. What's up, Pablo?
Hey, good morning, Sal and DC. Number one, I do love the pick. I love it because this is a guy who, besides having a great career here in New York, has really worked himself from the bottom to the top and has really taken advantage of that. And number two, Sal, there's no guarantees in the NFL. GM, coaches, NFL draft, no guarantees. So we spin the dice and see where we go from there. But I do like the pick, and I really think he's going to be successful here. I think it's going to be a really good story. I'm not going to say he's going to win a Super Bowl, but I think he'll have success here and bring Aaron Rodgers back.
Well, you hope. You hope, and thank you for the call, Pablo. You hope that that's going to be the case. And I think that's what a lot of Jet fans are on. And you have to have that. I get it. I mean, I hope he's easy to root for. I've been telling you this.
Yeah.
But you to all your points, there are no guarantees in the NFL. Right. In life, in all the other sports.
I agree.
Correct. Which is why you want to put yourself in the best situation to limit the risks or the question marks.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hire people who are, all of them, who are doing the job that they're hired to do for the first time, that to me is not the recipe for success. It hasn't been. It's proven. It hasn't been with this organization for many different reasons. So at the very least, BT, we should meet in the middle, and that's where you and I agree.
I have met you in the middle. Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Like,
I honestly do.
Hire an experienced GM. It's not that hard to do. They're out there. Go get one.
Yeah, but if they're so good, why are they out there? That's the problem, and that's where we oversimplify things. What really good GM is out there that's available? I don't know. Last time I checked, the good GMs remain employed.
Well, Dimitroff, I know for sure, is a good one. I don't know why he hasn't gotten back in. I'd be curious to find that out, and maybe we could talk to him and see what's up with that. But either way, I just like somebody with some kind of experience, you know, in doing the job that you're being hired to do. BT and Sal on the Fan Warrior calls when we come back. BT and Sal back on the Fan on this Thursday. Week is flying by. By the way, we have a big announcement coming up later in the show.
And it's a big one.
Now, I was going to surprise you with this, but I know you found out.
I found out.
I had to let the boss know last night, start getting things in place. So I was like, all right, I'll surprise BT with this. It was a good one, though.
It's a great one. When do you think we should do it?
Yeah, you could pick the time that we do it.
Okay, this might make sense. How about 11:40?
Okay, works for me. 11:40, we will announce the big, big surprise that we've got, or big announcement for the BT and Sal show that will take place next week.
It's going to be awesome. Let's leave it at that. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Okay, there was another thing that I wanted to mention here. And oh, yeah, we will also do Power Up today. You know, remember yesterday you guys were giving me flack for listening to Wicked, the soundtrack. Yeah, and I was getting messages on social media like, bro, I don't care what you think. I like the song. I love the movie.
I appreciate that attitude, by the way. There's so many corny songs I love.
Yeah, well, whatever. Right? That's the same thing as you. You love Frozen. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Do you. You
want to
listen
to
Miley Cyrus? Yeah, whatever. You want to listen to Miley Cyrus Party in the U.S.? I'm fine with that. Like, whatever. I like Mbop from Hanson. Like, shoot me.
Do you?
Right?
Did you like that
one? I do roll the windows up when I'm playing
that's
it,
a rough one to like.
Yeah, I know. Right. Point is, I love Wicked, and I want to get Susan Waldman's thoughts on that. I forgot to text her last night, so I'm going to text it. And because of that, we'll do Power Up later on today. We got a busy show. We got Baldinger coming on later on. We'll do the NFL, get into the championship weekend, and I want to do Power Up. We will do our top five movie soundtracks.
Yeah, that is a tough list to comprise, but that's going to be fun. Oh, yeah, pull your car, too. Pull your pack. We got that as well.
We got to get
a bunch of stuff here.
We got to get loose for the World Series, which is coming up after the
Super
Bowl.
Little batting practice today.
Remember, I took you down in seven last year.
I understand.
Year.
I know.
Game one.
I'm trying to return the favor.
The week after Super Bowl. All right, assuming that all goes well with my surgery, which is another whole thing. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Let's get back to the calls about the Jets and Aaron Glenn. Joey is in Pearl River, New Jersey. What's up, Joey?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Joe.
Like the move. Don't love the move. Loved him as a player. Two things that got me jacked up yesterday was the Parcells article in the Post.
Mm-hmm.
He gave him phenomenal reviews. The other thing was the guys that he might be bringing, Steve Wilks, Todd Haley, 90-year-old Mike Westhoff might be coming back, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I like the move. It's a wait-and-see thing for me. We've seen this so many times, like you guys said. You know, these first-time guys, but he is one of us, and, you know, I mean, we have to root for him, you know.
Yeah,
to
but that's,
succeed, you know.
Joey, yes, I get that, and thank you for the call, but that shouldn't be good enough. Well, he's a former Jet, he's one of us, he played for us, like, great, that doesn't mean anything. Can he be a good head coach? Or more importantly, and I think this is my main issue, because I really don't have an issue with Aaron Glenn. I don't look at him and say, oh, God, this guy's overmatched or he's a buffoon. The issue is, what has changed in the operation with the New York Jets that makes me believe that Aaron Glenn, a first-time head coach, can succeed here? That's my issue.
Well, that should be everybody's issue because that's the money question. Nobody knows the answer to it yet because the season just ended and we can't detect any change. What the hope should be is that Woody finally, and I've said this a lot, but this is the answer, dug down deep, looked in the mirror, realized for 20 years he got in his own way, it wasn't working his way, and he is changing his ways.
Okay, now don't you think that we would have seen some signs in this process that would be the case if that were the case? And I'm not seeing it because it's the same
What would we have
pattern.
Seen? I'm not saying that I don't agree, but give me a sign that would have been visible that would have said, oh, okay, Woody's changing here.
Hiring the best GM, whether it's with experience or coming from the best organization.
Okay, until he makes a hire, I can't criticize it.
Well, you don't know what happened.
I don't know who it is.
Yeah, how about the idea of, I don't know, interviewing Pete Carroll or Mike McCarthy?
Anybody else hire Pete?
At least interview them.
I got you, and that doesn't mean that everybody's right.
Look at all the guys that they interviewed.
But look at all the guys that a lot of people who don't love or don't even like, and there's not a lot of people who don't like it. Not everybody loves it, which I get. But think about those people. They're generally clamoring for either Gruden, McCarthy, Pete Carroll, and who's the other
Flores.
One? And Flores. None of them been hired yet.
Well, I mean,
there's
still,
seven jobs.
There still are openings.
But not many.
And also, that doesn't, just because somebody else doesn't do it doesn't mean you couldn't be smarter than everybody else.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. But when 5, 6, or 7 teams generally follow the same pattern, that's usually, and it's not 7 teams called the Jets, meaning there's other teams who are kind of thinking the same thing because, you know, you never know what the Jets are thinking. That gives me a little confidence that maybe the Jets are staying away for some of those people, and it's the right move to make
to
stay away.
The Jets passed on McCarthy last time. How'd that work out? I mean, the Jets
Did McCarthy win a championship in Dallas?
I mean, add up his wins in 1 year.
I got
him with the knucklehead Jets have done.
But did
the
last he win anything, or did he keep flaming out in the playoffs here? And listen, I would take back-to-back 12-win season like he had with Dak Prescott. Right. I really would. But he didn't win, which is the objective.
They also didn't go after Jim Harbaugh. I mean, he got to the playoffs in his first year. Like, and he's a proven head coach. The Jets could add him. Like, there's no way to defend the Jets' thinking because it has been an embarrassment of epic proportions for 15 years and counting. And I want them to succeed. Like, it's good for business for the Jets to do well. Even though I'm not necessarily a Jet fan, I root for them to do well. They are awful. They have been an embarrassment. You saw the articles that have been written about the ownership and the dysfunction. You saw the play on the field this year. After everybody said Super Bowl, they couldn't be worse than what they were. Guys were quitting on the field. Like, Sauce Gardner didn't make a tackle, for God's sake.
Yep.
These are talented guys. So, to me, I looked at
you think that's going
to
happen with Glenn as a former cornerback with Sauce?
I don't know, but the one thing I looked at and said, this is maybe the worst coach team that I have ever seen in my life. And if there's one thing that I know and believe in definitively that they need, it's a real head coach. And yet again, they're hiring a first-time head coach, defensive coordinator at that, with, in all likelihood, an experienced first-time GM. I can't get beyond it.
Well, there's change, and sometimes even if we know it, we don't really fully acknowledge it. Like, I know what most of us want. We would all love Parcells 2.0. You know, get the ass kicker coming in with the resume, with the juice to tell anybody in the building to do something, and they'll snap it on their feet and they'll do it. And if they can't do it properly, they'll die trying, and you'll give max effort. So I know that we all want that, but it's a different NFL. And if you could get a guy who played, who was in the building, multiple buildings, which is appealing to me, not just the Jets, but, you know, as a player, but the Saints and obviously some other teams as well, as we know. Like, I like that. He's seen different franchises operate. He's seen moribund franchises like that, like Detroit, go from what they were to what they are. I know they got punked this past weekend, but, man, they've been damn good the last couple of years, and Aaron Glenn's been one of the main coaches on that team. So I look at that. I say maybe it's time to, and maybe not for you, but just in general, maybe it's time to tweak what we perceive to be the proper template for NFL head coaches, because the exercising of authority, it's changed. It's not the 80s anymore, man.
I'm fine with that. But then what about everything else around him? It's all the same stuff that has led to failures. Like, Todd Bowles was not a bad coach. He was not a bad hire. He just couldn't succeed here. Sam Darnold had success elsewhere. Geno Smith had success elsewhere. Like, there's a pattern here.
I don't refute that.
So I just want to get to the crux of it and fix that. And based on what they've done here, I don't think that they will.
Here's an example, and I don't know the answer, but I know it drove me nuts with Saleh. I can never prove this because we'll never know unless he gets a rookie quarterback at some point that it actually happens and it mirrors the Zach Wilson situation. If Zach Wilson was being coached by Aaron Glenn, I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Can't prove it, but I'm pretty sure Aaron Glenn's not getting up to that podium with training wheels, holding his hand and kissing his ass. I think he's going to let him know, hey, young buck, if you don't wake up, you're on the bench. You have to be better than that. You must not be so careless with the ball. The exact opposite message, because think about this, Sal. When you deliver the message, which was soft and so off the mark by Saleh, the rest of the locker room resented that, which is why they all gravitated to Mike White. If Aaron Glenn standing up there and holding the young bonus baby accountable, second overall pick, now the rest of the locker room saying, all right, if they're getting on the number two pick and he's being so honest and open and raw about this, we better get our act together. I think that truly trickles down. I really do.
BT and Sal back on the Fan Remember special announcement coming up at 11:40. We've got a lot to do today. Brian Baldinger as well. We're starting the conversation on Aaron Glenn as the new Jets head coach. We don't know who the general manager is going to be. We also don't know, BT, who the quarterback is going to be next year. I don't know if Rodgers wants to come back. Like, we got to find that out. Maybe that happens next week. Who knows? And when the Jets make their decision on general manager, when they have the press conference, we'll find that out. But I would assume at some point Rodgers is going to, whether it's on McAfee or just in general, speak on his thoughts on it. We both agree that we think Glenn would want Rodgers back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Rodgers would want to come back under this circumstance?
I do, because I do think he wants to play another year. I don't think there's another great situation out there for him. And let's face it, I mean, do you really want to just, now he's not married with kids, so it's a little bit easier, and you have all that money, you just find an apartment that's, $10 million apartment wherever you move. It's not the hardest thing in the world to do, but there are logistics that, even somebody who's incredibly wealthy probably doesn't feel like doing.
Moving and all that.
Yeah, I mean, learning, and even though it's going to be a new system, but learning a new building, new highways, just all the different logistical challenges that a new location would provide. I also personally think that he likes the core of this team. I think he gets along with a lot of the young players. I think they like him, and I would be surprised at this point if he's not quarterback in week one for the Jets. I'd actually be really surprised.
I also don't know what the other options are going to be for Rodgers, if any. Mm-hmm. I do believe he wants to play, whether it's here, whether it's somewhere else. I think his first goal, he'll go through all that bull crap just to play again. I really believe that that's going to be the end result. Rodgers wants to play. The question is, where? And he's not going to go somewhere to be a backup, I wouldn't think. He doesn't want to play that badly. He wants an opportunity to start. So where is that going to be? Is it going to be in Pittsburgh? Is it going to be in San Francisco? Again, I'm just throwing some names out there. But, here, in all likelihood, assuming Woody signs off on it, and Aaron Glenn is for Rodgers, which I have to imagine he would be, because where's the better option right now than Aaron Rodgers? Like, you have him in place, you might as well try to win some games with him. To your point, I just don't know what Rodgers' other options are going to be and how he feels about not even Glenn, but more so about the offensive coordinator and that whole situation.
Yeah, I understood. Woody. And Woody, I know he loves Christopher Johnson, and Woody's a different story. I think there's a lot of variables. We could only offer conjecture. You just heard ours. You and I are pretty much on the same page with most of that. But I think it's really important from Aaron's perspective to come out, and I don't want to put pressure on the guy right away, but if he's able to squeeze out, like I told Sal in the first segment, a 9-ish win season, possibly more, but at least 9, be in the mix, play some real games in December that matter. Now all of a sudden, if Rodgers is in the middle of that, if he retires or you lose him the next year, we're not looking at your record every single week. Aaron Glenn's 8-21, Aaron Glenn 8-24, 9-27. Like, it adds up, and at that point it becomes untenable. So to me, stack some dubs early, get some equity, and then you roll into the next year.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Alan is in Manhattan. What's up, Alan?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Good morning. I feel for Jets fans so bad, because they're like in insanity. It's the same thing over and over, expecting different results. So to me, you have to look at the last 10 or 12 Super Bowls, and it's almost all coaches that are long in the tooth. So if the goal is to win the big game, then, look who's won it. Reed is on his third maybe. Harbaugh, Belichick, Carroll, these guys, Arians, these guys are all experienced people. Yet again, the Jets go with an unproven as a head coach. There's a learning curve. He's got to come in there, learn the culture, try to figure all the logistics out, and run a damn team. And at the end of the day, there's a learning curve. And here we go another 2 or 3 years, and then add on the quarterback issues and all that. It's insanity. It's going to happen over and over and over again with this team.
Let me just correct. Good points. But let me just correct one thing, and it was really one of the first things you said. You said he's got to learn the culture. Nonsense. He's got to establish the culture. We know what the culture is, and it's not good.
No.
And so does he.
But there is a learning curve with all the other stuff. So,
I disagree with that. I get that.
That's just natural. It's not a knock on Glenn. It's anybody. Ben Johnson's going to have to learn to be a head coach. I mean, there's going to be a learning curve there. Everybody thinks in Chicago it's going to be so great. Well, we'll see how the offense does, and they have the pieces in place. But Ben Johnson has to learn how to be a head coach. He could think of what he thinks it is or what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Then you get in there and you realize, okay, wow, this has to be done, and this has to be done. Like, there is a learning curve for any first-timer doing the job for the first time, whatever it is in life.
And Brian Daboll figured things out pretty fast in year one.
Well, I mean, did he?
Yeah. I mean, they made the playoffs. They won a road playoff. That's why I say in year one.
Well, results.
He walked into a losing situation, mired in losing, almost comparable to the Jets. Not quite as long, but, I mean, as irrelevant. And in 1 year, he fixed it. He patched it up. He pieced it together. He overachieved. And, by the way, those wins probably why he's still coaching this team. If he would have gone 4 wins, he would be gone by now.
I do think, though, the results of the first year are different from still learning. Like, I don't correlate a learning curve with the record right away. I'm talking about taking on the job, learning how to really get established and set, and knowing what you want. Dable obviously won the first year, but I mean, are we sure he's learned? He's gotten worse, certainly results-wise. He's also lost a bunch of his staff. Like, I don't know if Dable even knew what he was in for or learned even, you know, was ready for it in that first year just because of the results. I think there's a lot that goes into being a head coach.
But I would also, I actually totally agree with that. No. I think there's, how long have you and I been doing radio?
Right.
I think we still learn stuff.
Correct.
I know you do. We talk 100%. About it. So I think the more you expand your mind, the more you have conversations with smart people. If you're not learning, then you're not growing. If you're not growing, you're just not as valuable.
Right, but then think about that in any walk of life. You want to use you and I, that's fine. But when you refer, like, I used to think I could be on the air. I used to, when I was behind the scenes, I was like, get me on the air.
Uh-huh.
Like,
I could do this.
Yeah, I could do, let me do it. And then I did get an opportunity to do it. And I was like, oh my God, that was much more, like,
a lot of things are coming at you that you don't anticipate. Yeah, like a first year head coach.
It's got, right, it's the speed is different when you're on this side versus that side.
Sure.
And it takes, like I tell some of the younger guys now, like, it takes years.
Yes, it does.
It took me years to get to a point where I started to feel comfortable. And then there are different elements to learning. Learning how to do a show. Learning how to do 5 shows a week.
And learning how to work with another person.
100%. There's a million different things that go into it. So, yes, you're always learning. But that's why I think hiring somebody with some semblance of experience in doing that job to at least a certain extent, that's, especially the second time, guys like Brian Flores. You don't think Todd Bowles is better off from his experience with the Jets when he goes to his second stop?
I think that, like, he is, but I'm going to give you a compliment now. I think, of course, he is, right? But, like, so when you were moved to overnights and Chernoff said, all right, it's time to let this guy eat a little bit, right? If we're going to apply the same thought on an experienced head coach, there were other more veteran talk show hosts who were older and who had a lot more reps in front of a microphone or behind a microphone, but you had different upside.
Right.
And look where you are now.
Right, I get that. But also, it's a different way of measuring things. And also, by the way, BT, it's not that I'm opposed. Certainly, I'm all for giving the younger unknown an opportunity if he's worked his way up. And Glenn has done that.
He has.
Right. The problem is that the Jets have continued to give these guys opportunities. And it's not even that. It's also like the combination of an inexperienced first-time head coach with an inexperienced first-time GM. That's my bigger issue. My bigger issue is not even with Glenn, although being that there were Super Bowl-winning head coaches available, Pete Carroll, Mike McCarthy would have been my top two choices, or somebody with experience with Brian Flores. My bigger issue is the GM spot and just how the organization is run under Woody.
Let's close our eyes figuratively for a moment. And let's fast forward to, not the first month, month two next year. Let's go into October, mid-October, whatever. Football season's firmly off the ground. The Jets are doing what they're doing. The Giants are doing what they're doing. We're saying what we're saying. We're reacting how we react, right? Do you believe, now it's a gut, clearly, because Glenn's never been head coach before. Do you believe that we'll be taking call after call? This guy's got no presence. This guy's not holding dudes accountable. This guy's salty. He should have gone for it. He punted. Do you believe that that's going to happen?
Glenn?
Yes.
What year now?
This year. Two months into it.
This year, no.
Me neither.
3 years, maybe.
But why would it go back? If you don't show that early, why would you show that later? Why would you regress?
Because I think that circumstances can shake somebody's confidence, can neuter somebody. Like, we've seen Dable is not the same guy he was year one to where he is now in year three. I think if
his team also stinks.
Yeah, I get it, but I'm saying if the results aren't there, I didn't think that would be the case with Robert Saleh. I didn't know much about him, but he looked like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
That, I remember Craigie saying flat out, oh, our coach could kick your coach's ass. Everybody was excited about it. Badass, said the right things. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And it sounded great. And then it comes down to it, and it looked awful. And it wasn't just year one. It was after that. Like, by year three, it was like, oh, my God, I can't take it anymore with this guy. He doesn't have a clue. I think, I don't want to say on paper, because in reality, like, Glenn possesses all the characteristics in the short time that I've heard him speak and listen to some of the things that he said.
Yep.
I believe he's got the right characteristics. However, if they go 3-14 this year, whatever it is, and everybody's like, oh, here we go again. And then the New York machine and the negative Jet monster and Woody and quarterback, and they start to get involved. I think anybody can be shaken. For myself, like, I remember there were times where, yeah, all right, it felt good and really felt confident in where I'm at. Like, even beyond just the learning years, you feel good about it.
Yeah.
And then something goes wrong or
you start to overthink things, get your own way. No, that happens to everybody. Like, Aaron Judge. Happens to Juan Soto. Okay, how good you are.
So there you go. It's human nature to have that happen. And if you don't have the success to back it up, or the, like, if it happened with Pete Carroll, you'd be like, well, he knows how to get out of this.
Or Mike McCarthy. Well, Pete, people might be saying games passed him by, he's too old.
Well,
I mean, that might. That if Pete was 1-5,
yeah, I mean that's
you'd
fair.
Be hearing that.
I guess in this spot, but I wouldn't,
even if it's not fair, you'd be hearing that.
I wouldn't doubt that he knows what he's doing as a head coach. Same thing as McCarthy or whatever. Pick an experienced guy,
somebody who's done it before.
Whereas somebody who hasn't had that success before, it's even more like, oh, this is the wrong hire. Is this the right guy? And he might not get the chance to see through that because of where we're at.
I'm disappointed in myself. I'm actually really disappointed. You said something, and this just triggered this here. You said before, you talk about when Craigie said our coach can kick your coach's ass, and I wanted Sullivan to get hired as well. And you said, you know, it sounded good. In hindsight, it didn't. And I should know better than that. Like, because I take pride in reading people. And it just, as I go back now.
Yeah, but it's easy to look back now.
I know I understand that, but I don't feel that way with Aaron. With Aaron, to me, it's authentic. It is real. It is confidence. It's not, and I'm not saying Robert didn't have any confidence, but we looked at his body because he was jacked and he did present himself
like
in a good way.
Yeah.
I did, rather than some little 137-pound scrawny wuss being my head coach. Yeah, of course I'll take that. But when you actually go back and listen to what Robert Saleh, and I would actually challenge you guys to do this at work, go to YouTube, find it at some point after our show, and actually close your eyes, listen. Was it really as good as we made it sound like we thought? No. What did he really say that was so amazing? He looked like Popeye, but he didn't really say anything that was really, really good. The first time we really saw him speak to his team was on Hard Knocks, and he sounded like a half a poet who had no idea what he was doing. You watch Aaron Glenn. You listen to Aaron Glenn, and this is why I'm disappointed in myself. This is a street sense that I did not have with Sala. Aaron Glenn's got that. There's not a doubt in my mind. Aaron Glenn's got that.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. More of your calls when we come back. Remember, special announcement involving the show here. We'll have that coming up at 11:40, so you want to stay tuned for that. Your call's next, 888-808-1019.